World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, great to be up and at 'em here already on what Monday morning. Little worn down. We had a great weekend in Pastor Mike Spalding's event over in the Dayton, Ohio area. And I'm always blown away by those things. And a couple of things I want to talk to you about this morning as we move forward. But I gotta say this more. There's just something great about fellowship. You know, it did my heart good. I saw Mark Trump. I hadn't seen Mark in months. I saw Bob Evans. I hadn't seen Bob in quite a while. And I could run down a litany of people, that guys who are in the queue that ended up coming there, and just the unbelievably rich fellowship that we had. I cannot emphasize to you enough our need to some of you out there to step up and let us help you get a huddle going. I'm telling you, I don't think I've ever seen people as open as they are right now. And, you know, the scripture talks about not to miss the day, the time of you know, his visitation. And I think the Lord is a real open window. It's a real open window. We were at the church. Pastor Mike Spalding did a great job as always, but the church that they hosted it in was Harvest Revival Center. Pastor Neil Peterson, young guy, about 40 some years old. And dude, he didn't pull any punches, man. I mean, you guys, you know how it is. It's hard for us to be able to get into a church at all, let alone to talk about some of the things that we did that we talked about. And Pastor Neil was right in the middle doing deliverance on Friday night. Yeah. Deliverance in a church. Yes. Yes. And how refreshing that was. And I said publicly, there aren't 1 in 1,000 churches that'll even have us in, let alone they fed us. The people in the church fed us. The fellowship was, man, is so rich. When we were doing dinner on Saturday night, I think it was, they made some like taco stuff. And I'd been doing something in one part of the church, and I turned around the corner, and when I came around the corner, I just stopped. And I couldn't believe the sound that was coming out of the larger room, the cafeteria where we were. Just the buzz of Christians in their fellowshipping together. It just did my heart unbelievably great. And in that atmosphere, here's what's going on, friends. Whether you realize it or not, there are people all around you who are woke, and they have no idea where to plug in. They're woke. And they're not all the way woke. But when they get into an environment like they were in, and they heard from some of the great people that were there and some of the great topics, and to go deep into the gospel and deep into this stuff, it lifts a burden off of their shoulders, man. But Michelle and I, we bumped into, they didn't even know who we are. They didn't even know who we are. And we bumped into them at the hotel, and they were heading to Philadelphia last night, going home. And Dwayne and Juliana, and I said, just stop by my house. I said, we live right along 70. We live right along Route 70. You're going to go right by it on your way home. I'd never met him till this weekend. Met him at the hotel. And they stopped by, and we had good fellowship, and Michelle made him some cookies, and we ate some cookies and drank some coffee. And now they're more awake, and they're involved, and they're going to come to Bobby Lee's event in Pennsylvania this weekend. Friends, listen, start chumming. They're everywhere. People are everywhere. And the awakening is happening quickly. And the evidence is so much easier to find. Look, I've been doing this almost 20 years. than trying to wake people up for 20 years. What did I say? Daryl, not Dwayne. Thank you, Michelle. I'm sorry, Daryl. Daryl, not Dwayne. He's a Daryl. Right? I'll be able to remember that. Thanks, Michelle. But folks, I'm telling you, you know what the common thing we hear is? Does anybody know a church? Does anybody know a church? Anybody know a good church in my area? And the sad part is, it's hard. They're hard to find, aren't they? They're hard to, yeah. And here's one of the great deceptions. Everybody thinks their church is great. Oh, folks, Coach, we love our pastor. We just love our pastor. Oh, yeah, does he talk about deliverance? Well, no, but we love him. He's just the nicest man. Folks, we need wartime generals. We're at war. We're at war. And, you know, one of the things that it's really been on my heart, and I spoke about it on Saturday, I think it was, and I mentioned it to Ohio Brett last week, Ezekiel 9, the mark of Ezekiel, and I might get into that a little bit here today. But the truth of the matter is, some of you guys have been marked. Some of you have a different calling and anointing on you than the people that you're around. And they don't understand it because they don't have that mark. They don't understand. They don't understand what's going on in your heart. I'm telling you, they are around you everywhere you look. They're around you, but they don't feel comfortable talking about it in their local churches. Sometimes they're, even though they continue to go to their local church, they're shunned from their local church. And the number of people that after this conference, it was all just good stuff. It was all just good Bible stuff. To talk to people and say, man, my eyes were really open this weekend and I had no idea and yada, 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 yada. So I think, I guess my appeal to you this morning is, come on, man, some of you got to step up. It's getting to the point. I was on the phone with Chad Estes last night. Guys are stepping to the plate and they're doing these big events and it's all good and I'm behind them and I want to help and I want to make sure that they come off okay. But I understand the logistics involved with pulling one of these things off, and we're not a rookie at it, and at the same time we're trying to help some of these larger events get gone. Then I got a guy like Coach Norm, and Coach Norm just wants to be able to learn how to get on Zoom so he can do a local Zoom. That's where most of you, somebody gonna step up, man. Come on, step and start a Zoom conference. If it's only just you and two people, just get together and start to get to know each other, because this thing is beginning to expand and multiply to the point where I was looking at my calendar book last night. I try to get to as many of these things as I can. And I get emails and people want to do this. They want to do that. And I want to kind of pull my hair out because I want to do everything. But I can't do everything. Some of you have been in here 4 years, 4.5 years. Some of you 5 years. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. You got to start stepping up. And if there's anything we can do, any type of assets or any type of resources or anything that we can do to encourage you to get gone, let us know. We'll do whatever we can. Folks, I would love to come to every event. I can't make it to every one of them, but I'd love to. And we'll do whatever we can. And we can do you can do your first ever event, and I'll Zoom in and I'll talk to the people from there. Or it doesn't have to be me. This isn't about me. But I understand those out there want to organize things. Say, oh, golly, if we could just get Coach to come. Well, I would love to come, but it ain't about me, right? It's not about me. It's about you guys and what you can begin to build there. And Jamie Walden did the most unbelievable thing on prep. He did about 3 hours on preparations. My mind was blown at the things I hadn't thought about in preparations. Always putting the gospel first. Always putting the Lord first. Understanding that it's a commission. It's a great commission. Understand to go, understand to occupy. Our churches have so missed it. We've so missed it. Not Pastor Neil's church. They didn't miss it. Oh, it's been unbelievable. Now listen, Dizdar and Dunn are coming April 23rd and 24th, and we still don't have that all up or a location. Friends, please try to get here. Put it on your calendar, right? You can't register yet. You can't register yet because we don't have it up on our website because I don't have the place locked down. April 23rd and 24th, Dizdar and Dunn, the dynamic duo, are going to come and do spiritual warfare training. And, you know, it's one of the conversations I had this weekend is we don't have enough soldiers, folks. We don't have enough soldiers. We have to all be trained. We have to all learn how to more effectively. We just have to do it. So put that down, April 23rd and 24th. It was great to see Ray LeBlanc. I forgot to mention Ray and James. It was good to see them. And, oh, man, it was a great – I'm tired. But it was a great time of refreshing. And now is the time for us to amp it up, not cut back on it, friends. We have to amp it up. And we have to expand. We have to – folks, listen to me. You have to expand beyond your church. You have to expand beyond your own little church, because there are guys sitting down in the pews at the other church on the corner, and they know what's going on, and they're not hearing it either. And I'm going to call real quickly here. I'm not in love with Ohio Brett, but Ohio Brett, come in there real quickly and just take 1 minute, Brett. Talk about what's happening in your heart, the awakening you've had since you've been hanging around here, the Coach Dave Live crew. Come on in there, Brett, real quick.
Hey, Coach, can you hear me? I'm in.
Yes. Yes.
None of us worship you, Coach. We worship God and Jesus Christ. But there's a role for great coaches and leaders in our lives. I was missing the team aspect. And I can't tell you what a blessing it was to be with so many. With Mark Trump and Bobby Lee and Bob Evans and meeting Ralph. And, Coach, to see you speak and light them up Friday night and Saturday night with your talk. Mm-hmm. Hey, all I know is that I was renewed, but I also get renewed. As I shared, everybody knows I'm on that 21-day blitz in Ohio. Everywhere I go, I let them know, number one, I'm proud to be a strong safety on this team. You got to go to CoachDaveLive.com. Plug in there, because I do. And Monday through Friday, I need this encouragement. And yes, everybody has a different role, but you could have a conference call. You could have a Zoom call. You could host a huddle. But yes, from time to time, you need to go, because when the team gets together, it is unstoppable. You can't stop a football team with a big heart.
No, and so all of a sudden, you look around, and what have you got now, Brett? Now you've got a nose guard. You got Bobby Lee. You're hanging out with Bobby Lee the last couple of days because you met Bobby down there. Folks, come on. Come on. We need to step it up a little. Come on in, Silver. Come on in. Your hand's up, brother.
Yes, it is. I was going to say that I was amazed at the opening this morning, Spencer. The audio was incredible. Marked difference between. This is like the old days, the level of, see, I'm a sound guy, okay? And I can, and I really, you know, the last couple of years, the introduction that I'm talking about, Coach Dave Live introduction, okay, has always been muffled, sounding different, back and forth, every time. Today, solid, right on, and crystal clear, was not muffed at all.
Okay.
It was different. So I don't know what they did that's different, but it works. And it's all kind of fits in with what you're talking about, because people.
You muted yourself, Joe. You muted yourself.
Now, I didn't do that.
All right.
I didn't mute myself. Okay. I see. Hands clear. But I was saying that it's crystal clear to me that things are changing in a big way, okay? And we have to be alert.
Amen.
Okay? I'll give you a classic example. I watched the news last night before I went to bed. No big deal. I wake up this morning, I look at Russia Today, and I see that the Texas governor is sending the National Guard down to the border. Okay, I didn't hear nothing about this on any other news source other than Russia Today.
Russia Today.
Weird. I call Russia Today real truth.
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? Because it wasn't that. We're a captured nation. We'll get into that later on. Wait, Ray, come on in here a minute. Ray's up at Wisconsin. He drove down with Jane. The Peter the Russian came with his brother. I mean, oh, I'm forgetting. Who am I forgetting that came? I just bless my heart. And there's such a boy, there's such a bond of kinship amongst it's some. Come on in, Ray.
Yeah, it was a hearty group, that's for sure, Dave. And you know, you guys that you think it's a long way to get there. I'm in Wisconsin, you know, 600 something. I was home by midnight last night. We went down to Pastor Spaulding's church after the Sunday, and we heard David Offer down there again, and left about 1 o'clock. I'm back home at midnight, you know, good 5 hours sleep. I'm refreshed. Yeah, that's a long trip. So don't be discouraged. Oh, I can't make it. That's not too far. It's not that far if you have the ambition to go.
How hungry are you, right, Ray? It's a matter of what.
Yeah, exactly.
You can spend all day sitting on your butt in a car, or spend all day sitting on your butt in your living room. You're sitting on your butt.
You guys are football coaches. I'm looking a few years back at the people, the fans that are sitting in with snow on them and their noses are almost frostbitten.
That's right.
Worshiping their God, you know. Yeah. How great is our God? Amen. That's what we were hungry for, and we really got fed with men of God that had a vision. The home church thing, Coach, hope you get a chance to talk a little bit about the home church growth movement. I think that's a key factor as well.
Yeah, and that was really one of the points that Jamie Walden made, folks, is the fact that the church is really, really going to, whether we want to believe it or not, we're going to be forced to go underground, and we need to be getting prepared for that now. It's going to happen for sure. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, I want to kind of follow up on the line that you just mentioned about we're going to have to go underground. How many people are aware that about 12 days ago, I guess, 23rd of February, however long ago that was, that 1,500 members of the North Korean military picked up their arms and started fighting against the rest of the military to get out of the system, to be, you know, to free themselves? Just a teeny bit of background. In North Korea, you don't get drafted and then go through 6 weeks of training and go back home for, you know, a couple of days and then go through other training, et cetera, et cetera. North Korea, you get drafted, you spend 10 years in the army and never get a visit to your home during the 10 years. Wow. You are 10 years, 365 in the army. And then in North Korea, when you get out, the state gives you a piece of paper telling you what the rest of your life is going to be. And about 2 weeks ago, the Kim Jong-un decided that the communal farms and the mines, the underground mines in North Korea, were understaffed and the people there weren't doing a good job. So he made the decision that all people departing from the North Korean military would be assigned to a communal farm or an underground mine for their rest of their life's job position. And these 1,500 men that were getting ready, they were in a kind of like holding area, getting ready to be processed out, and they were looking forward to going home for the first time in 10 years, and they realized they weren't going to be able to because some idiot sitting in a bureaucratic chair made the decision. And so they took up arms against North Korea. Now, it didn't take but about a day and a half for the rest of the military to get in there and kill all 1,500 of them. Now, things are way, way worse in North Korea than they are here in the United States. But here in the United States, they are heading towards the type of dictatorship that North Korea has. If, you know, we've heard it before, if we don't do something now, it's going to be too late eventually. People, if we don't start doing something now, it's going to be too late. And wake the hell up.
Hopefully, Larry, you're speaking to the woke people. We got to go. We have to become missionaries to the church is what we have to be able to do. And, you know, John Diamond, I don't know if John's in here this morning. John came down, and I said to John, and I mean it, John, if you're listening right now, he made an unbelievably clear 30-minute exposition. It was really, really good. And two things I noticed as I was sitting there. Number one, as I looked around, nobody knows our Christian heritage. And our Christian governmental heritage, we don't know it. People in church have no idea. Okay, we don't understand our history. Social studies, problems of democracy, we don't get it. And number two, the meetings are all old people. Where are the young people? Where are the young people? And as bad as our public schools are and the things that people are being taught in public schools, we need to make a conscientious effort, a concentrated effort to educate the next generation of Christians. And I was talking to Michelle as I was coming home yesterday. I said, honey, maybe I ought to start having teenage camps. Maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to get 100 teenage boys up at Sky High and teach them manly Christianity. But you know why I didn't? Yeah, I said, well, soon, huh? You know why I can't do that? Because they're going to be parents who won't agree with the doctrine. It's unbelievable. They need to sit under. Folks, here's one of the things I put in my notes today. We need to begin to do weekly huddles, call it whatever you want to, with John Diamond, with Jamie. An hour, come in sometime, 6 o'clock at Sunday evening, 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon, whatever it was, do a Zoom meeting, do a Google Hangout, and John Diamond just does a history lesson for us. We need this stuff. We're not getting it anyplace else. And we know that the scripture says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I watched people, when John Diamond got done, I watched people just shaking their heads. Because it is not what we've been taught. And because we don't understand, people destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? So you went, John's in there now. You understand what I'm saying, John? I know you understand what I'm saying, right? And we're not reaching the next generation for sure.
Yeah, Coach, I just had, great things are happening here in Corey. We're going to be bringing you and the team up here later in the Bradley Dean back. And we're going to have several events here in this area. But time I had out. Another church.
Time out. I'm going to let you go to that, though. Time out, though. Folks, listen. Please hear me, John. Everybody, please hear me. We need to do these. We need to come in your home. You don't have to come to where we are. I love the conferences because it's great from a fellowship standpoint. But you ought to be able to get educated on these nuts and bolts right from where you're sitting in your house. And that's what I would like to see to do. Go ahead, John. I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, I did mean to interrupt you. I apologize. I interrupted you.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the technology we got, we can do all of this stuff now. But I had a church last night. Another church, because I gave my Fighting the Next American Revolution book to every church in the area for free and every pastor 10 years ago when I moved here, and they all poo-pooed it. Well, now they're all starting to wake up and understand, and they're like, what do we do? So I had the board of another church call me in last night, and I just told them what I told you guys at the conference, and they just all shook their head, and they said, you need to come in every week and just teach us on the Constitution, on the Bill of Rights. Well, that's what I'm going to be doing with that group. And then I had the Catholic priest, and I got a meeting with him in an hour. The Catholic priest called me and said, man, what do we do? So I got to go over and meet him. So we're stirring it up, man.
Well, listen, it's not only that. I think of Tim and Naomi, and I know what Tim and Naomi have, and they want to get to people. There has to be ways we can do this other than having to go to conferences to do it. Some of this stuff doesn't have to be hands-on in front. I came home. I was changed because I saw people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I saw how far some of those people had come just to get some truth. And I said, man, see, folks, the fellowship's unbelievable. That's why I love going to them. It's unbelievable. Fellowship, like-minded people. But the education is just as critically important. And Daryl, who was with us yesterday, who stopped by my house on the way home, he was kind of, his girlfriend was awake. Daryl was kind of awake. I'm telling you, he's awake now. He's coming this weekend again to Pennsylvania. So we, as much as I beat up on the local church and pastors, again, we have to become missionaries to the church. Somebody give me a thumbs up. You know what I'm talking about? We have to rescue some of those people that are sitting. Not everybody's going to hear it, but we got to rescue them. And I think that we can start that by these huddles and virtual huddles. Now listen, better be ready for this, because when you start to wake other people, there's going to be a backlash, and the backlash is going to come from the establishment religious organization. And they'll say that you're sowing discord and don't listen to him and don't stay away from her because she's just going to get you in trouble. Because, see, whether it's a cowardice or ignorance or whatever it is, there's a blindness, folks. There's a blindness in the pulpit. And I feel bad because I want to reach those guys so bad. But I told my wife again yesterday, I said to her, honey, listen, if the pipe is leaking, I don't go over and preach to the pipe that's working. I got to go to the pipe's leaking. And as much as I don't want to talk about the leaky pipe's the problem. I said, well, how are you ever going to reach him if you're constantly criticizing him? Stop leaking, dude. Your people are dying. Stop leaking. I don't know of a nice way to be able to do it. So I want to come in the back door, the side door, whatever. They're sitting in there. They know they're awake. They see. They understand. I'm rambling too much. Let me jump in here, man. Go ahead, Jeff, and then Reggie, and then Jack.
Yeah, Coach, I preach in front of Gospel Light Church. I like to quote Matthew 11, verse 20. Then began he upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. He scolded those cities. So I'm mm-hmm. out there, and I scolded this church.
Amen. Amen. And Jeff, that's all you're supposed to do. Move on. That's all you're just planting the seed. That's all you can do. Reggie, come on in.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to kind of go back to something you said, Dave, about where are the kids? Where are the children? The enemy fights. Everybody sees that our men are being emasculated. You have to reverse that. The men build up the church. The women are the helpers. We have to go back. And I know everybody, every time I say it, Catholics, the Catholic lady, the few, got together many years ago and they started a program called Fraternus. They are taking the boys. And you know, you get the brush back from the parents, but that's where you weed out those parents that are going to continue in this indoctrination of falls. So they have built hundreds and hundreds of men up, and they are growing again because our church is, well, I'm Orthodox, but Catholic, but the churches are dying. It has to start with the young boys. And if you get two, show me it. Those two can do powerful things with their equipped with the right weapons in Christ. Amen. We got to stop teaching error. These men, but you know what? You say we're these old people. The older men that are awake need to start joining forces and building up the army with the youth, just like Hitler did.
Yeah, we have to do it, man. We have to do it. They're the future. We know that. Come on in, Jack, then Myra, then Dale, then Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, between your platform and your methodology and others like Hal Shurtleff at Camp Constitution and Chris Ann Hall and David Whitney, if you guys combined your combined expertise, we can reach these people. There's already people out there doing just what you're talking about.
Yep.
They just don't have the audience here, or they don't have the methodology here, but they're doing it. Garrett Lear was teaching kids every summer, all summer.
Yep. I'm with you, man. I'm with you, Jack. Myra, come on in.
Good morning, Saints. Bobby Lee, thank you for the video from I saw Brett and I saw Coach early this morning, and it was a wonderful experience. Another thing, please don't forget about follow. We have all the documents, whatever you need to at least get in contact with your local governments. We're still growing, and we're around. And thirdly, Coach, yesterday I heard in Omega Ministries about getting involved with all the rescuing is going to happen with the children that have been abused. And I am part of Coach Dovemeyer group. So I was going to ask you, is there plans for us to get involved in that?
Child rescue? Well, here's what yes. Yes, I would say, but listen, understand this, folks. What we try to do here, this is part of the problem. how do I say this in a nice way? I try to plow a broad row. And if you see a row that you're comfortable in, please go down it. Please go down it. But if I turn all of my effort, not all of my, but if I turn all of my effort and energy into child rescue, or if I turn all of my efforts into education, or I turn all, I'm going to get bogged down. But we come here because John Diamond can do the education part of it, right? We got others who can do the child rescue part of it. We're a team, and we want to plug in and support others in what it is that they're doing. It can't just be an initiative that I lead. And I'm not taking it wrong, Myra. I understand what you're saying. But if you have that call on your life, or that unction, or that anointing from the Lord, do it, man. Do it. We'll support you. We'll help you. Reggie wants to do an event May 1st, Tiny Hearts. She's about child rescue. Pull up real quickly here. Missing kids. Folks, you can go on the internet every day, any day, and pull up a story exactly like this one. I'm in the wrong spot here. Let me see if I can flip back where I'm supposed to be. Is this where I'm supposed to be? Yeah, there, goodness, coming back. 100 folks, this is yesterday. 150 missing kids found in Tennessee. 150 missing kids. Are there missing kids where you live? Of course there are. Child trafficking, that's become bigger than drug trafficking, right? But wait, we don't know about it. These stories are everywhere. So, Myra, I'm not putting down what you're saying. See, there's an attack on our children. Abortion, public schools, transgenderism, there's an attack on our kids. Because the evil one's smart enough to know if he can get the next generation. It's always been about the seed, hasn't it? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. It's always been this eternal struggle over the seed. And unfortunately, Christians are losing their seed to the world. What would 150 kids between the age of, this says here, I'm reading it, between the age of 3 and 17, what would they look like? They found 150 of them. They rescued 150. Task force headed by the Tennessee FBI, or no, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, located the missing children during the sweeps through the state. Conducted as part of Operation Volunteer Strong over the nearly two-month period. 150 kids. If they didn't found them, they'd be dead. I don't want to get into this. Folks, this is going on all around us. I'm not going to go there yet, Lord. I will. I promise you. I'll go there. Come on in, Dale.
Amen, brother. Well, you kind of nailed it there, where my heart is at. And the fact is what is it you're calling? You know, we are not cookie cutter Christians. We're not bricks and mortar. We are living stones. We were dead stones. We were created living stones. And now we are jointly fitted together. No stone is alike. No stone is exactly the same. So what you're saying, you're absolutely, I know you, coach. And that is to inspire one another on into good works. Now, when we're talking about our children, you know, just a few points here is that, you know, believe it or not, you actually bring your children to battle. This isn't a physical shooting guns. This is a moral battle. You know me. All my kids grew up out in the streets, in the ministry, part of the ministry. Many a times, the dad goes to the clinic while the kid stays home. No, bring your kids with you. Bring your babies with you. Go to the streets and bring your family and train them and teach them. Biblically, when you go back and look, it was from the ages of 20 and under, they were the ones that were trained to go to war. Now, I'm not having a huddle this weekend, coach, but you know exactly where I'm going. We say all politics is local, church is local too. Brother, we're having a block neighborhood barbecue at my house. Last night I had 15 people. It was family last night, but I'm including my family and all my neighbors. We're expecting 30 to 40 people in my driveway at my house this coming Sunday for barbecue. Neighbors getting to know neighbors. You know, one of the things that we got going on in our neighborhood that you don't see no more? You remember where the little meme where you said, once you used to know where your children were because you saw the bikes out in front of the house? Right. We've got that going on in our neighborhood. And when you have that, you have a network of community that protects. Each child is protected. We don't even know our neighbors, coach, let alone the person sitting in the pew next to us in church. We've gotten away from the simplicities right here local.
Yep, we have, Dale, we have.
But I want to encourage once again, this is what I do. This might not be necessarily for some people, they'll get frustrated. Listen, if God's not giving you that heart to be able to do that, brother, don't try to go in something that God's not called you to do. You've got to find out, like what Bread of Ohio is doing. This is what God's called them to do. Now you're doing it. You're telling them, go do it.
Go do it. Jeff Klein, come on in, Jeff. Thanks, Dale.
Coach, just want to share a couple things real quick. I'll make it quick. We had a good morning yesterday morning. That 20-year celebration we did, there was even some pictures up there of the Minutemen and stuff like that. It was cool. But Pastor Bill let some of us men get up there and talk about what the war is really about now and what we've been through over the 20 years, all the different battles and things we have done. And I looked down in the front row, and there's about, 12 or 14 little kids. And I told the church, I said, look right here in this front row, and these kids are all waving. I said, what's it going to be 30, 40 years from now when this war is raging and they're trying to destroy Christianity? These little kids are going to pay the price. Yeah. So what we're also doing is, I'll mention David Arthur Tuesday night in the garage. Then we also got next weekend, here's what we're doing. We're doing them boot camps for kids. We're doing our first one next weekend. Now, next weekend, we can't pitch the tents out of Spring Mountain because it's a little bit too cold yet, but we'll have at least three or four of these boot camps through the year. The last one we had last fall, 42 men and boys, teaching them how to shoot guns, rock wall climb, fish, zip lining, just scripture reading, all kinds of stuff that men can come out and bring the boys. Grandpa, bring your grandson. Dad, bring your sons. And we camp for a Thursday night, Friday night, and into Saturday evening and break camp. So we're going to do it indoors this coming weekend. We're going to do some gun simulator stuff in the church. We're using the little campgrounds down there beside us with the cabins. And then we're doing a wild game feast, cook-off Saturday night. The kids are going to eat all kinds of wild game. But that's what we're doing. Then the following weekend, we got Bradley Dean scheduled in at the church on the 21st. He's coming. So we're just getting flyers out on that. But that's our next 2 weeks right there. But we're going to do them boot camps this year. That Spring Mountain area outside of Warsaw, there is no cell phone service. When we come into that camp, you can't turn the cell phone. They don't work. And then Pastor Bill's brother's retired drill sergeant. He owns the property. He's loving this thing. Just these kids out shooting guns at 6 years old, 7 years old, and eight, teaching them gun safety and stuff we're doing. But it's great.
Okay, now listen, some stuff Jeff's talking about is great. It's not feasible for some of you. Some of you don't have a property. You can't do that. Your pastor's not involved. I understand. That's why, again, I'd circle back around. It's important that we begin. Hey, folks, come on now. What are your kids learning at youth services? What's going on at youth services other than guys are eyeballing the girls? I mean, come on. What's going on? And so we need to begin to reach out to them, whether it be through what we have right here, because the truth is some of you are in situations where there isn't a pastor who gets it. There isn't anybody. I feel a little bit of frustration today because I can see that we're setting ourselves up to continue to lose if we don't grasp the next generation. Come on in, Jim Caribou. Come on in. And then Craig. And did I miss somebody up there? Jim, then Craig. Go ahead. Hey, hang on. Hey, folks, listen. I get emails every day. Every day from people. Well, Craig, you made me think of it. I got an email from some lady in Hagerstown, Maryland yesterday. Is there anybody in my area? I need places to send these people. I need local contacts to get in touch with them. So I connected him to Craig. Come on in, Jim. I'm sorry, then Craig. Don't hear you yet, bud. Still can't hear you. Come on in, Craig. Then we'll come back to Jim.
Just something I think God dropped in my spirit. What JR's saying is, you know, that's a potential in the future because the Boy Scouts you can't send your boys to. Okay. Nope. Right. So now I look at it as opportunity that send them. The families would love to send their boys, even if they don't even really know the Lord, to an organization, a church is willing to do that. And that's a way to actually do outreach and ministry and do it right.
But the point I'm trying to make, I'm with you, Craig, point I'm trying to make is you get three or four families even, and the dads take the boys out and camp out and shoot. And well, they don't even know how to be boys. Jim, I can see you now. Maybe we can hear you, bud. Still can't hear you. I can see you. Jim, no, you're, we, I see you, dude. I see your lips moving. I can't hear you. He's trying hard, man. Let me move as Jim tries to get that straightened out. Let me show you something else here, okay? A couple things I want to make you aware of. Golly, Lord, so much to talk about. Hey, click on where did I put it? Masks don't work. I gotta show you this, folks. I got up, I shared it with my wife. I just wanted to pat myself on the back today. One American News Network. See, the Centers for Disease Control. Breaking news. Face masks don't prevent COVID-19. This is from the CDC. Study finds masks have negligible impact on coronavirus numbers. Now, folks, think how long they've played us for fools. How long has it been? It's been a year, hasn't it? And now they're telling us to double up masks. And this is a Centers for Disease Control survey, research, whatever, March 7th. That would have been yesterday. This was posted. They don't work. I'm not going to read the article to you. I feel vindicated. Those of you out there have been fighting that fight and getting pushed back. Masks don't work. Can we all say that together? One, two, three. Masks don't work.
Masks don't work.
Let's say it again.
Masks don't work.
In fact, not only do masks not work, go to mouth issues. Go to mouth issues for me there, Spencer. Mike, mask, mouth, gum. This causes gum disease, which has increased coronavirus deaths risks by 900%. The masks cause cavities, decay, gum issues. Come on, man. Masks don't work. Okay? Masks don't work. We knew it, didn't we? We knew it. In fact, this... churches are still telling people to masks up, still telling them. And we know it doesn't work. Oh, I got a bunch of people want to talk. Paul Webb, come on in. You haven't been in there yet. Then David Arthur.
And you know what's sad, Coach? Those freaks knew it didn't work in the first place.
They knew it, Paul. They knew it. They knew it didn't work. And they told us to do it anyway. The doctors, folks, the doctors know it doesn't work. And they still tell us to do it. The dentists know they don't work. In fact, the dentists know they're harmful, and they still tell us to do it. Trust your government, right? Trust your government. Come on in, David. David, you did a great job. You did a great job this weekend.
Thank you, Coach. Hey, you know, it's not just the children being targeted. This is something I'm starting to learn right now. It's the vulnerable. It's the vulnerable. It's not just the children. It's the vulnerable. So I met a couple. They're drug addicts. They're homeless. And everything that I spoke on, they said, wow, that's everything they're teaching us in our recovery meetings. So it's the vulnerable, right? Yeah. Now, we know that they want the children. They want people to sacrifice their children. But it's the vulnerable in general. And I ain't wearing a mask. I almost yelled that out in the middle of Pastor Mike's intro yesterday morning at his church. But it's the vulnerable. They want the vulnerable. They want those. Exactly. They want the children and the childlike, because the vulnerable are childlike. The drug addicts, the alcoholics—they're childlike.
That's right. What they need need somebody to protect them, don't they, David? You know.
That's so right. And your government and half of your government, or probably all your government, is going to be the ones that want to coddle them.
The vulnerable. They're after the vulnerable. Boy, oh boy, David. That's
amen.
Hey, that's what happens in that whole homosexual movement, isn't it? They come after the vulnerable.
That's it. And you know what? When we were 2018, when we were at the Pride Parade in Columbus, I asked a lot of people there, homosexuals, the older ones, and the lesbians, what do you think of all these young people here? You know what most of them said? They don't belong here. They have bad home lives. Huh. They have mommy and daddy issues. They have self-worth issues. And they're just here because they see the rainbow and love. And that's why they're here. So even they know that all of the youth that was there didn't belong there.
So, David, that's what it is. The whole pride issue then, the whole pride issue is about building self-esteem and self-respect in the vulnerable, isn't it? Say, hey.
That's it.
You're not accepting
it. Because that was the one thing. Right. That was the one thing, Coach, that I realized on my deathbed, right? The only one thing that I had to do was get rid of my pride and say I was wrong. That was it. That was the one thing I had to do is get rid of my pride and say I was wrong. But guess what? They don't know how to do that because that's what the rainbow stands for. It doesn't stand for deviant sex, right? Although that's what they're doing. But it stands for pride. That's what it stands for to them. Mm. It stands for pride. Pride in their deviant sex. Pride in their deviant ways and in themselves. And it's self-life, self-love.
So, folks, listen. The old saying, hang on, Randy. I'll be right there. Dale, I'll be right there. Birds of a feather flock together, folks. Listen. Hurt people hurt people. Hurt people are drawn to hurt people. Young people who are rejected are drawn to other young people who are rejected. And they come together in a common bond of what? Pride, homosexuality. They have a unification there that they don't find any place else, right? That's what's going on. David's so right about the vulnerable. I'd never looked at it that way. Come on in. Thanks, David. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, I tell you what's going to happen, and this is good. This is the silver lining. We know Satan means things for good, or evil, I'm sorry, and God turns it around for good. He uses that. And so what's happened is this year of living in bondage with the mask and all this lying, what it's going to do, Coach, a lot of people are going to cry out in their heart, and say, I was so dumb. I was so in bondage and didn't realize it. This is going to cause, I believe this. This is going to cause the fake church, the phony everything, realize we were played like a fool. We were so stupid. And I think it's going to open up their heart to truth, Coach. And I believe God's going to use this for good. I really do.
I believe so. I believe so too. We're definitely swimming upstream, but it's okay, man. It's all okay. Jim, can you get in here now, Jim?
Yes, Coach.
There you are. Good to hear you, buddy.
How you doing? The arena of working with young kids. I tell you, adults have such low expectations on young people, and they sense it. They sense that nobody's calling them to step up, and they want to. So, I mean, a good way to approach a youth pastor, because yes, you know, that's where kids are right now. Not only, but that's a good point, a place to start, is just raising the bar on their lives. And they
Amen, Jim.
I mean, that term teenager didn't even exist until about the 1920s. Before that, a 12, 13 year old kid, you know, was supporting his family, was working hard. So we've lowered that expectation that they don't think anything's expected of them.
So let me share a personal story, which I do all the time because it's my show, I guess. But our little grandson goes, have you guys have grandchildren out there that love to get on the computer, love to get on tablets, right? Can't really peel them away from it, right? And so our little grandson, he was doing that. And then grandma would say, hey, David, you can be on there for 10 minutes. And then it hit 10-minute mark, and he wanted to go for five more. And it became a wrestling match. So I started about 6 months ago saying, listen, David, listen, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to let you play on the tablet for 10 minutes. And then at 10 minutes, you're going to stop, because you know why, David? You're a Christian, and Christians are man of their word. You're a man of your word, David. So I'm going to let you get on the computer, and then when Grampy says that you have to get off of it, you're going to get off of it. Why, David? And he said, because I'm a man of my word. I said, that's right, David. So do you have any idea how many times a week that David says to me, Grampy, I'm a man of my word? Just little things like that. Do you understand? Just little things like that.
Coach, they want responsibility.
They do.
They want responsibilities. We don't require anything.
Amen. And I believe David will always be a man of his word because of that little lesson that so easy for me to teach. The real Christian men are men of their word. If you say you're going to do it, you're going to do it. If your mommy tells you to do something and you say you're going to do it, you got to do it. You're a man of your word. It's so important. Here, where am I here? Dale, come on in.
Hey, amen, brother. A couple things. One of the things, I saw that article on OAN about the masks, the CDC, because part of the first thing that came in my mind, like a red flag up the pole, is that they're changing the narrative. They are wanting to change the narrative to now shift. The masks don't work. You must get a vaccine.
There you go, man. There you go, right? Now,
and Coach, you know me. I'm not blowing smoke when it comes to my family, part of the ministry. This is part of the thing is that we fail to think. We don't think our kids are old enough. When we talk about, you're not old enough yet. Not, let me tell you what. Because then the child has a fear of failing at anything. Like we adults never fail at anything. You right. Got to let them take that ball. You got to let them. You got to encourage them. Point that out. My kid. Okay, so yesterday, I gleaned from the show. Brother, that message that I went back and watched it twice, the show on the gospel. So guess what I preached on just to see where my level was with my congregation and my preaching my message right was the gospel. So I asked the question before introduction. I said, what is gospel to you? Are you ready for this, Coach?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what my 15-year-old son's answer was? Kingdom.
Huh?
Kingdom, 15 years old.
Wow, kingdom. Amen. Kingdom.
I was like, well, I guess I'm preaching okay here. Anyway, I want to get off. Yeah, we got to let our children, you got to let them get out there. They're going to make mistakes. It's better that they make mistakes when they're around you than when they're in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Give them that. Amen, brother. Amen. Loving you.
Come on in, Jeff, followed by Silver. Jeff, now, your hand's up. No? You have to go to the bathroom, Jeff? Sorry. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Silver.
Okay, Coach, through all the discussion, I have found one of the things that we're talking about or that we're starting, for lack of a better term, to see is we're seeing clearly, more clear than before. So I looked it up, and this is from Webster's 18, whatever that is.
1828.
And the fourth one just fits it like a glove. Free from anything that creates doubt or uncertainty. Apparent. Evident. Manifest. Not obscure. Conspicuous. That is open to the mind as the reason is clear.
Mm.
And I just wanted to share that.
Amen, Joe. Amen. Let me throw this out. Looking down, I got 7 minutes. Jeff Klein, did you want to get back in here? Did you left your hand up? Now, then I want to finish on something here.
Just one thing real quick. I forgot also this month, the last week in March, I'm going to take that ice cream for Jesus truck over there, the high school baseball fields. Anybody locally that want to go, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, we'll go over every night and reach them kids in that parking lot at the baseball field.
Amen. You'll go after the kids. I'm struck by something. You know me. Maybe you don't know me. I march to the beat of a different drummer. I'm an analyst. That's what football coaching is. It's analyticals. What's that other? How are they able to get away with that? Sit down and watch a football film. How were they able to do that? And I can't tell you the number of times during my coaching career I stole things from the other team. I'd watch the film, say, "Daggone, is that ever good?" And then I would implement it. Right? I would implement it. So I say that to tell you that I analyze things. I'm not Mark Trump analyst, different kind of analyst than Mark Trump, but I'm an analyst nonetheless. And I was really impressed on me last night, just before I went to bed, the whole idea of, well, here's what it was. I was watching something on the computer, and it was something called, you ready? praise and worship. And I sat there and I watched it for a while. Where'd you go, man? So I looked for this morning. I said, look. And so I just asked myself out loud, what is praise and worship? How did praise and worship become an event at church? That is what it is, isn't it? Really, folks, come on, be honest. For the most part, isn't praise and worship just an event at church? Is that what we're supposed to do with our lives? Just do the praise and worship. Go to the church, then walk down to the aisle, down to the altar, and the guy plays the music, and then I stand there and I put my hands up in the air, and that's praise and worship. Well, I'm telling you, how shallow is that? How shallow is that? And it seems to me that the idea of praise and worship is not what you do at the altar at the beginning of church. Praise and worship is what you do after you leave church. After you leave church, is your life a life of praise to the Lord and worship to the Lord everywhere you go? And unfortunately, we have turned praise and worship into nothing more than 15 minutes or 30 minutes at the beginning of church in our church services. That's what it is.
Amen.
And because of that, we've lost the average everyday responsibility and duty to offer my body a living sacrifice. Folks, that's praise and worship. When you offer yourself up, I wonder, does the Lord sit up there and is he looking down and or everybody's waving their arms and waving flags? Really? Really? Now, he might enjoy it. I suppose he enjoys it. But can I tell you, I'm just going to use me. I get uncomfortable when people begin to say nice things about me. And bad things, rolls off my back. I get embarrassed. Now, I wonder, does the Lord sometimes get embarrassed? Oh, dude, stop that. Just go serve me, will you? Just go serve me. Don't do that. I'm not making fun of your praise and worship. You understand what I'm saying? I think the Lord is far more glorified and far happier when you're out doing something on his behalf in secret that nobody sees. And these people who are standing here at praise and worship, they ain't serving the Lord when they walk away from there. Oh, maybe they are, but they're doing it in a restrictive, reserved way. Praise and worship is, it should be every breath that you breathe away from church. Honoring the Lord with everything you do. Yes, somebody.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a guy that's crazy about that. He'll come pulling in my car lot. The vehicle's blasting. It's usually that the black Christian music. It's cranked up. People are looking like, what's all that noise? And then out jumps out of the vehicle, David Arthur. He's singing, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He's just doing it, going down the road, pulling in parking lots. And people just look at him like, what is wrong with that nut?
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, praise and worship, playing in your cars, you're driving down, that's all good. But to turn it into 20 minutes of church?
Well, we've definitely made it more important than obedience. We were talking about that last night, this same subject. We make praise and worship more important than obedience in our life. And when the Lord returns, what does it say? He looks at our life, our deeds, Amen. What we have done, our obedience.
A living sacrifice, right? Not one that stands in the altar, lifts his hands and cries and tells Jesus how wonderful he is. He's probably looking down saying, dude, get out of church and go do something, will you? To me, that would be more praise and worship with our lives. But we've allowed the church establishment to turn it into something it was not designed to be. Fact, just do a Google search and you'll find now they've got ministers of praise on their staff, right? Minister of praise, minister of worship, worship minister. What? See what they've done to us? See what's happened to us? We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. It's you. It's that living sacrifice. It's you. Man, a couple of you want to get in. Silver, go ahead real quick.
Real quick. I remember... I'm like you, Coach. I was raised as a Catholic. Okay, I was an altar boy. I sang in a choir, and I loved the Mass, the whole thing. And then when I left the church and I became a whatever we are called that leave the church, and I went to like Assembly of God and that kind of thing, and praise and worship was amazing. And then the thing just went dead. I never had that at Mass. Mass was awesome. You know, so there's something there as compared to there.
Rochelle, quickly.
Thanks. I just want to say that, I think there really is something to praise and worship if you're doing it correctly. Otherwise, they wouldn't have shut all the churches down and told us not to sing. God loves to hear our voices when we're praising him and our hearts in the right place. There is definitely a place for it.
Amen. But not the only place and not at a specific time is what I'm saying. They've done that like they do so many other things. They've put it in a box and we've lost. Praise and worship is when I see my grandson come running down that hill. Thank you, Jesus. That's the praise and worship in my life. Myra, quickly. And Joseph. Myra, your hand
up. Yes, Coach. Thank you so much for your answer. And I know you're already overburdened. You are doing just way too much. And I don't think I did approach it correctly. But since we're doing such good job with everything, I didn't know if it was back in your mind, maybe start doing something sometime from now. That was all. But I appreciate you. I don't mean to put you in the spot. I need to do more for everybody, too.
Thanks, Myra. Thanks, Myra. Lord is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Joe Allen. Come on in, Joe.
Another thing I'd like to see, Coach, we don't do it in our church, but it's get the kids out of these Sunday schools and put them in main church to learn about Jesus and get them out of those classes where they're fooling around with each other.
Brother, I'm with you on that, Joe. A lot of the good Christian families that I know of, big families, they didn't put their kids in Sunday school. They kept them right beside mom and dad. Told them to behave, sit down, don't talk out, don't get on the floor and crawl around. I think that's where it's supposed to be. I'm all over the place today. I'm excited about where we're going. I mean we. I'm excited. God's doing something. Bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.